Does anybody know about the tarpon on the eastern shore?
Don't about them?
Yeah, I know about them. I've seen it. I've seen them. As far as the tarpon on the eastern shore go, yeah, I've seen them.
They're there.
Yep. If they exist, look at that. Have fun.
I've seen one roll, too. I've seen them roll a couple times.
You're going to need...
What's that?
Oh, yeah. All right. A bug screen, fucking a lot of bait, a lot of hooks, a lot of patience.
All right, we're back for podcast number 14, part 2. So, yeah, it's back. Took a pee break and back again. We got a couple questions on there.
Yeah, we'll take, but looking for a new kayak, what can you do about demo days coming up? The demo days are in May, aren't they?
There's one. River has one in May, I think. I'm not sure if they do or not, but I know Appomattox has one up in Farmville in June.
And that's huge.
That's a good one.
It's a really good one to go to. Yeah. Everybody's represented there.
All the boats.
Fairly. Yeah. It's not a pressured environment because everybody's there.
Yeah.
The pros from the local area of everybody's there, and there's some that travel.
Yep.
That come there, you're gonna get good advice.
Yeah.
You get a chance to try out everything.
Yeah, everything. And that's the cool part of the demos. And we're gonna do an ocean kayak demo or a Johnson Outdoors demo. We're gonna do. I'm gonna try to pull off three of them this year. Of our boats, and we're gonna try to do that here soon. As soon as it gets warm enough, where you don't have to wear waders.
Thing about it is you want people to be able to walk up and not even have to be prepared.
Yeah.
If you can get people driving by to see what's going on or whatever. I mean, in the summertime, people don't have to be prepared.
Yeah.
Literally.
Appomattox is in June. I think it's June 14th or something like that, the Saturday. And then ours is going to be, I'll post it up when we figure out the days on there. We just got to figure that out. Forgot about that.
We're back.
Yeah. But do you guys have any demos down there? Do you do anything like that?
No, I don't do anything like that. You've got Kitty Hawk Surf Company down there. I think they run one. And it's kind of more like an all-out water day. And I want to say that's in like June or July. So they're, you know, at their location down in Rodanthe, they're doing kayaks, they're doing kite boards, stand-up paddles. Yeah. I mean, it is a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you're
going to
have the stand-up
like,
paddling in our demos, too.
Yeah.
I mean, not ours, but not the one we have because Ocean Kayak has one, and if we get one, we'll definitely have it.
Hopefully,
he'll
bring it down.
Greg,
we don't have one personally, but if Greg brings it down, our rep will have it.
Yeah.
Generally, for me, people will hire me because I'm a wilderness guy, and they might hire me solely because they want to try out a wilderness boat. You know.
Yeah.
But
that is not a bad idea.
Yeah, but that question is valid, in the sense that you need to demo the boat. The boats.
Try something.
I love wilderness. It works great for me. And I know you're an ocean kayak guys, and our job is to convince you as pro staffers why we think our boat's the best. But in the end, you need to test and be comfortable.
Yeah.
Get it right the first time. Get the right boat. Don't go to Bass Pro Shops. Don't go to Dick's Sports and spend $400. Save your pennies. Do it right the first time. You can skimp on so many other things in the kayak once you've gotten it.
And
build up. You can have a $40 paddle. It's going to suck.
You're fishing.
But you can have a $40
and also,
paddle.
Remember that you're fishing in salt water, so if you buy those real expensive freshwater bait casting reels, you're wasting your money.
Well, they're super expensive.
Super expensive.
I shoot for $130.
Your middle range stuff is what we use, and it lasts for seasons, as many seasons as you can expect to get out of this stuff. Three seasons.
But the thing is,
four seasons
with that price of that price range, it's worth getting them fixed because it costs maybe $20-$40 to get them fixed,
cleaned. Clean them out, get them good, clean them once a year, get them fixed up.
Or whatever it needs, whatever it needs to be. It's going to get rusted out no matter what, but it's going to happen. But they'll last a longer time.
Yeah. Well, when you're starting out, you don't buy anything expensive solely because you're probably going to lose some of it.
Yeah,
that's a
you're
guarantee.
You're
going
to drop some shit overboard.
Right,
folks.
That's a guarantee.
And there's some shit you're going to have on tethers that you're going to drop overboard and the tethers aren't going to be tied to the boat. Because shit happens. Literally, I can tell you, I swear, I still don't carry a knife on the kayak because I don't know how many times it was but I would always grab a knife at the tackle shop and take it, and I would drop it over. I literally don't know that I had a knife make it more than 2 fishing trips in the first 3 or 4 months I had the kayak, and I haven't carried a knife since. I carry scissors.
Yeah.
I don't have one strapped to me anyway. It didn't matter where I put it. Something got caught in it. I did something. I used it and set it on. I literally lost the knife the very first time I took it on the water.
Well, I always tell that story, especially when I was working at the tackle shop, and guys were coming, you know, new kayakers were getting the sport, wanted to get most expensive gear. I was like, look, you're going to lose all this stuff. And I tell the story about Shantae when I was dating Shantae. When she wanted to start coming fishing with me, I was giving her like $25, $30 combos. And she was like, and she was looking at mine and said, why are you giving me all this cheap shit? I was like, because you're going to lose all of this. All of these reels, that all this stuff that you have, you're going to lose all this. You know I'm not. Within that first year, all of them went in the water. And then, okay, now you can step up because now you've already. Because your first time in a kayak, all that stuff is alien. I mean, for us, it's so second nature. Everything's here. Do it in my sleep and, you know, all that stuff. But somebody who's not doing it or hasn't done it for a long time, you put a rod across your leg, you might not realize that it's there through excitement of something else. And whoops, there it goes. Or you lay it down here, you know, just always that. So yeah,
that's right.
You're going to lose all that stuff in your first year of getting comfortable in the boat. It takes that long.
And that's another good thing about the demo day is you got not only all these boats, but you're going to see all these accessories. I mean, even just perfect example, when we all come together for the rendezvous over there at ARC, you know, it, once again, you're in the shop. You're seeing first of the year, and these people are doing stuff in May and stuff. The new product's on the market. It's there. You're looking at it. So you might also get ideas for the rigging and see so much more with that demo day and really get a good, comfortable feel. Because it's like rushing in to buy your first motorcycle. That's what I tell people. And you buy the 400, you got it for a month, and you're like, man, I should have bought the 1200. Right. It might kill you, but you just got to work your way up to it. So, and that's the thing. Just get your kayak right the first time so you're not selling it 6 months later at some huge discount, taking a hit.
And it's not like the 1200 either. The more expensive kayak is actually safer and
right,
like,
right,
it's going to be more apt for what you're doing as opposed to like jumping into the 1200 motorcycle.
But it's also
your wife's not going to be the biggest fan of that. By the way, don't use that analogy. You're like, I want the 1200. What?
It also is knowing what you want to do with it. If you're looking at, you know, our video and going, I want to go catch sheephead at the bridge. I want to go, you know, target stripers, or I want to go cut, you know, target reds.
Take that kayak from Dick's out there and. Bash the side in on it.
That's the thing. If you just want to hit Rudy, or just want to hit the inlets, or you just want to hit the backwaters.
Right.
If you're going to ocean, or if you're going to go backwaters, there's boats for each one of those.
Yeah.
And then there's
boats that, like, are good all-around boats as well.
Yeah. And that's the thing is about, like even in your backwater, it's open. So it's open water. It's shallow water. You're not in, like, so much like really heavy creeks where you have a lot of shelter. You have open water, wind. High gunnel boats are affected by that. So, you know, the high seat boats aren't the best. It's comfortable, but not the best when you're in an open situation like that.
But at the same time, for a lot of the kayak fishing, it's short distances. Yeah. You don't have to go far. So, know where you're going to fish and how you're going to apply it. You guys do a lot of long distance stuff where you're going out to the islands and things of that nature. Well, at least for me to target certain fish, I have wrecks that might only be less than a quarter mile off the beach.
You're going off the beach.
Right, right. Hey, Rex, you are planning this stuff. I mean, if you're just like, I got this, I will tell you, you will end up like the two guys that rented a kayak, okay? They're down there. They rent a tandem. It's southwest.
Right, because we can do that.
Well, it's southwest at like 25 miles an hour. So they were all cool on the lee-hand side of that island. And they got a little bit farther off, and the wind drove them so far off, and they couldn't paddle against it that they literally jumped out of the kayak, swam back to the beach with their life vest on. And it was like some crazy thing, like it took them an hour plus to get back against the wind, you know, but they couldn't paddle it.
Yeah.
And you know your environment, know where you're going to use it.
Yeah, like I
don't have to do that. I can get drum within a few hundred yards of the beach. Everything for me is close proximity, so I can go in a wider boat.
Yeah.
You know, I can have that ride boat, but if you're going to go long distance, you're going to need that faster, narrower boat.
Do you have
boat,
a method to help clients through the surf?
Yeah, because I'm not going on a day. I'm gonna kill
right.
Somebody.
Right.
I don't know how my insurance would feel about that. But here's the thing: and everybody watching, you know, there's no big secret to how the Outer Banks looks. You look at it from a map, and it's like a giant elbow. And so your different wind patterns are affecting. When you got 100 miles of two different sides to fit, and in most cases, those two sides aren't even a quarter mile apart.
Yeah.
Knowing how that's one of the various trickiest parts to fish, the Outer Banks and this Bear Island, because of that. Each wind affects the area different, can make it bad, make it poor, but make it, it's 6 foot surf on this side, and you go around the elbow and it's flat.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I have that to my advantage, and I'm like, yeah, we're getting to the lee side,
mm-hmm.
and we'll stay close where we're not going to get blown off and screwed up.
Yeah.
So that's one of the big dynamics of the kayak fishing on the Outer Banks. But you need to be mobile. You know, you're not going to go to Cape Point every time and tear stuff up. You wouldn't go to Hatteras
right.
Inlet or Oregon.
Right. No, absolutely.
If you're not mobile as you're kayak fishing,
then
you're going to get what you get.
And that's
the
thing is down there, you it's a little bit of a drive. You wouldn't think, if you're looking at it, like, oh, it looks like a small community. But it's not. Sometimes it will take an hour to get
and
to a fishing spot.
The thing about it is, though, is once you're down there on vacation or you're down there to go fishing, you got to be willing to be able to go do that. I mean, you said we're going to go here. I'm sorry, dude. It's fucking howling. And these fish over here, I mean, it's really going to work if we go over here. I can tell you, I mean, and I'm sure you can look at the client and be like, all right, man, if you want to go there, we'll go there. It's going to cost you the same for me to take you there and show you that we can't go, as it would be for me to turn around, go right around here, and we can go fishing.
What else the thing
you
is
know what I mean? And
mobile
so,
around the winds,
so
around the fish movements. Around.
And the thing about the Outer Banks is you've got to be able to do that too. And the cool thing is you've got the ocean on one side and the sound on the other. And I mean, in some places, it's, 100 yards or a couple hundred yards?
A few spots along Pea Island, it's pretty grim. I mean, even down around Frisco, in between Frisco and Hatteras, is kind of grim. I mean, it's like slingshot. Literally, an acorn, you don't even need a rock, an acorn will fly from the sound to the ocean, practically.
I was just comparing it, like, last week we had Steven in here, and he always goes out of Rudy, because he can either stay in Rudy or go out.
Yeah.
Well, the things that you do down there, man, and sometimes they catch the puppy drum or larger juveniles right outside of the surf, and it's not just the big ones, but I mean, you've got those options. You can fish here today, there, but you have to understand. I mean, your clients and everybody have to understand. Like, there's a lot of places you can go to fish down here. It's not one boat ramp.
Yeah,
right. Like, from a client standpoint, that's easier for me because I'm able to explain it to them. Like, well, I know you're in Duck, and I want to go fish somewhere that's 25-30 miles from you.
Right.
The bottom line is, even if you booked a charter, nearest place you're going is Pirates Cove or Oregon Inlet, you're going to have to drive to there anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And once you're on that boat, you're going to have drive time to get to the fishing ground. All I can tell you is that wherever I go, when I launch, I'm going to be fishing in 5 to 10 minutes flat.
Oh, yeah.
Period, game on. And so that's how it's easier for me to sell it. But, you know, I started out on the Outer Banks 13 years ago, and I was working on Redanthi Pier. And I was just lucky, you know, those guys saw that I wanted to learn and wanted to fish, and the old heads took me in. And that was the thing. I mean, the best of the best guys, they don't fish the tournaments. They don't post on the internet.
Right.
Those guys are what I call drum hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And I have literally been rolling with them in over a 30-hour period, been at Sandbridge, fish, shit turn off, you're on Avalon, like 2 hours later, you're fishing, you're catching a few, and then it's like, oh no, it's going off in Kerala, and now you're
up the beach
airing down, shooting, and this is what you're doing, and I I get people that want to relax. I own a camper or whatever. I get that. But I'm fish hungry, and the guys that I'm
watching, I wasn't talking about it.
They changed, man.
That's why on the first movie, at the beginning of it, I said, who says kayak fishing is relaxing?
Yeah.
Because we...
Yeah. And I wasn't talking bad about, like, the chartering. I was just saying, like, there's so many options down there, like, you can move around with the weather and everything.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, I wasn't trying to get it.
You can get yourself pointed back west and charge down towards Englehart and Swan's Corner and Juniper Bay and stuff. And that's if 50, 60 mile ride, okay? Once again, you're back into an incredible fishery.
Yeah.
So I love living on Hatteras from a fishing aspect. Living in Kildevil Hills now is better for me. That I'm kind of in the middle. I want to shoot 50, 60 miles west.
Is
no problem. 50, 60 miles south or north.
Yeah, for a few years now.
And that has been a bonus for me. And if you live all the way down in Bucks and Hatteras and you're trying to do at least what I'm trying to do, then it's going to limit you. It's going to be hard. Like,
well, the centralized.
Oh, right. Am I going to drive all the way up to Bob Perry Road and launch back there after these puppy drumming speckled trout that's in Kitty Hawk and I live in Buxton?
Yeah.
This way, everything is kind of split. Yeah. It really is. I'm in a good spot for saying that I'm mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. What were you laughing at, Lee?
Oh, this comment. He said, thanks for answering his question, but boo for passion is a boat. He's got the old dick special.
I'm really not picking on you.
No, it's just, I mean, he said he tried. I tried an ocean kayak from somebody else this weekend and see the difference. And that's what the demo days,
those dick types of boats, you can fish rooty with those. Those are excellent.
Yeah.
You fish the backwards, they're excellent for that. And fish freshwater with that, they're excellent for that. But if you're trying to punch out the surf or getting some waves.
A lot of times they're not comfortable to spend time in.
Right.
And what I'm saying is the demo days, like, I've ever been in is ocean kayaks.
Mm.
I've paddled other boats.
Yep.
I really like ocean kayaks, but I've got friends that ask, you know what I mean? And I'm like, the best thing you can do is try boats. What I can do is offer you the ocean kayaks that I have. Jay's a good friend of mine. He has wilderness boats all over the place.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
And the thing is, Williams
got the Hurricane. Well, you want to try and fish some boats, like...
Well, that's the thing is, like, I'm at Appomattox River now. I'm working there now. And we do that. We do, okay, you want to fish. Say you want, like, we show them, like, three different styles of boats. Your tarpon and then the tridents, you know, and stuff like that. So it's, it's the same kind of models, but in the three different brands. And here's what each of them have, and, you know, and all that stuff. So it's...
Yeah, I mean, we spent a lot of time, last week talking about Rick's... feel free.
It came in the shop and I felt like I knew all about it.
Yeah.
I saw Rick playing with it. And, this new feel free boat with this super.
The lure. This mug. What did he have? 11 and a half?
That's right.
The lure. Did he have 11 and a half or did he have a 10?
That's right. He had a 10, but it does have 11 and a half. But it's got a seat like a... It's really cool.
It really jacks
really
up.
Seat, yeah.
And I mean, we were trying to get
him.
Trying to get him to fall out.
And it wasn't happening.
In their defense, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Rick's not a big guy, but I mean, he was literally, he was like, at one point, he's like, we want to take pictures. I want to get some pictures of me getting up and down. So I was like,
all right.
Perfect.
Up and down.
And he was like, is that enough? I was like, no, that's not enough. The light's getting good.
Yep.
Get up and down.
Turn around. Turn on the seat and spin around.
Stand on the seat. What do you see? Bonefish.
You know, here in Tidewater, your kayaking community up here is massive. And it continues to grow. Where
people are so nice.
On the Outer Banks, this is a different world. This is a skiff life. People grew up with their small boats, their backwater boats.
You know?
and I get it, you know. So kayaking is just gradually taking a much slower pace at growing down there for all the incredible fishing that it is. But with that said, I've seen, at least even in our sound waters, everything you can think of from like some little 6 foot sit inside, you know, and that guy's jumping out. He's got a stringer on like 5 pound flounder. He's like, hey, I don't need that boat. You know, I got this boat from West Marine on sale.
Dude,
it was 3 years old.
A guy,
you know, for $200.
Used to be a guy.
A guy at an 8 foot sit inside at Rudy was my best luck charm ever.
There was a guy.
The 2 weeks in a row he showed up, I caught the two big. I mean, none of them were citations, but I caught the two biggest flounder I ever caught. This dude showed up on the rocks carrying his shit over his head, dropped his shit in the water, and started flounder fishing. And I went up to this one spot on the bridge, and I dropped my shit down. I caught a 25 incher 1 week, a 25 and a half incher the next week, like 5 minutes after this dude. And I was just like, "What's up, man? How you doing?" The first time, and the second time, I was like, "What's up, dude? I got a giant flounder last time he showed up." Oh,
yeah.
Shit!
It is, but that's it's a testament when you're still going back to buy cheap rods and cheap reels. And I don't care what you're rocking. Mm-hmm. I don't care if your leaning post is 14 karat gold. You know, do you catch fish? And your equipment, your equipment's only relative to how effective you are with it.
Yep.
That's the bottom line. Yep.
There's a lot of really good fishermen that cannot afford Penn Internationals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, or what are these Stellas and
When I was at the show, I was looking at those reels, they were like $400. I was like, I can't, why?
I got some friends
why? What's the difference between that and my $130? I understand it's smooth and it'll last, it'll last longer and all that stuff, but it's a reel. It's still a reel.
If you drop that you drop that bitch in the water, dude, it's bye. Would you watch a nice combo blast with that red drum?
Yeah.
And I mean, that wasn't even a mistake. The only mistake you had there is not grabbing I paddled away like three strokes. Mm-hmm. The rod was literally behind you for 15 seconds and then it was a bubble trail.
Oh, yeah.
Going through the water. Snap.
I might have anywhere from 1 to 8 people on the water at any given moment, depending on what I'm doing. And so you can think about the amount of, and people, a lot of people are calling me, never kayak fished before.
Right.
You know, they might have barely fished. And so everything's new to them. You're trying to walk them through landing a fish without putting the reel in the water. That's never going to happen.
Right.
It's taking it all day long. So my whole approach has been that I know I'm the guide, and I'm going to protect my stuff more and so on and so forth. I don't want you to really use anything that I'm not prepared to use.
Yeah.
So I've got my inshore stuff is all mono. My offshore stuff is mono, you know, in the ocean for the most part. I might have one reel here or there, you know, with some braid on it for myself. You don't want braid and people that can't fish mix because that is a nightmare.
Right.
I mean, so monofilament. But since I do that with them, I do that for myself. And, you know, look, some of these reels, the most I'm going to pay for a reel might be $50 or something like a Fierce or something like that. A lot of the reels are $20 or less. Mm-hmm. And I will run them until they lock up. I will unscrew the top, pull the base off, put the new base on, and screw it. I got stacks of spools like this. I don't even play around. I just keep on getting it. And that's why I'm saying these people are like, I changed my line 3 times this month. Whatever. I changed my line.
I don't know.
All my inshore stuff. Now,
changed my line once.
My big pier fishing and drum fishing. No, I'm serious about that crap, man.
I change my pier line daily. Maybe sometimes 3 or 4 times.
Right. Exactly.
I ran out of line.
My kayak stuff. Forget about it. My kayak stuff, when I feel like lines is popping too much, it's time to go.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing is, I always do what I should be doing and make sure there's no real nicks or anything in the line.
Check it before you use it. I mean, I've literally
changed my leaders. I'm good to roll.
I've literally tied the line. I've looked at my line and been like, man, this stuff looks like weird. I'll tie it to the bumper of my truck and like walk in my parking lot out here with the rod bent over as tight as I want it, as I know, and just like, okay, well, it's not as bad. And sometimes it breaks, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll change it.
I big drum fish.
But I mean, I've literally hooked the shit to my truck. I took it to my truck to check it. I'll check knots with my truck. I mean, doors, whatever.
I have big drum fish with a $20 reel, a $50 ugly stick, and 12-pound test. Hooked 15 and landed 12, and the only place I was breaking them off was the leader.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. I mean, so you can come out there with whatever you want, how fancy it is. you're putting it through some of the worst stuff you could put it through. Now, I love guys like Rob Troy, okay, and some of these other guys are like, they're showing you their work bands. they've got their work bands and all their reels laid out, and I'm like, you know, hey, I get it. Hold on, I'm going to clean my reel too. Trash can. Let's roll. You know.
I don't
take clean my reels too, because I've never put one back together.
Here's what happens to me every time. On the Citicas, I just took off the handle to try to put on another handle.
Spring.
Ping! Just shot off. I was like, okay. I give them to a guy and let him.
That's right. Pieces.
Yeah.
My surf reels get the same thing. Dude's like, dude that got my surf reel this year is like, did it get submerged? I was like, excuse me? What?
I
submerged it in the ocean almost every time. In my sink when I got home, yeah. In fresh water.
Well, that helps it out, though. That breaks up that salt.
I'll run a slosh, and that slosh.
Oh, dude,
I'm gonna add some oil to the bearings and stuff like
SHAs.
That. But when that thing dies at $110, if I got 2-3 seasons out of it, bye.
I mean,
I'm ready to roll. I'm not gonna go. Let me drop this off, and your reel will be ready in 2 weeks or whatever have you. Just whatever, throw it on the shelf. It's good for parts or something down the road if I need a handle or whatever have you. But
nah, man, I can't fuck with it. I just don't I'd
You've got to peer fish or surf fish to understand one concept. It does matter out there. A 13 foot carbon fiber rod is going to do better than most others in some circumstances. The better reels, faster bearings.
Right.
Distance means fish.
Yeah, I mean,
kayaking, it doesn't matter. You're getting on top of them.
You can paddle over to them.
Right.
I don't catch that many fish off the pier or surf, but I enjoy it. I got 2 1509s. I fish with 2 and slot SLSHA 20s.
But you didn't go buy the $49 combo
nonsense
to pier the beach fish or pier fish with. Right. Keep your tackle smart. Keep your tackle smart.
Yeah, man.
You have more money for accessories buying a new boat. You might find, you know, even as you and Rick talked about, like the paddles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, you can spend a little more on your paddle, which is going to be better for you.
Start with the boat. Try them.
Yeah.
These demo days are awesome. Your friends will let you paddle their boats around.
Yep.
They're proud, especially once they put all their shit on it. They're like, man, check this thing out. I mean, they got shit hanging off the front. You can barely get in the thing. I mean, it's everything. You can rig them up like crazy.
Yeah, you can.
And about the demo days, not only do you get to see the brand new boats, I know Rob brings you, and you bring your boat rigged too, don't you?
Yeah.
People, these pros bring their boats rigged up, and so that also gives you an idea.
Yeah.
The new boats are coming with plates to add things. I mean, everywhere. I mean, you know, so your rigging options, you get to see some of that.
Yeah.
And especially now, since they are doing more promoting, so you will see more rigged boats show up at the show. I mean, you can take two boats comfortably with you, so, you know, not only are you going to take the Trident, which Rob is going to have rigged up.
Yeah. I take my Ultra, because I've been using that a lot,
yeah,
too. That's my bridge boat now.
Yeah, you can take your Ultra instead of, or with, you know.
Yeah.
And that's cool, but the boats will be there rigged up. People get to see that, too.
Yeah.